नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। So we are reading from Canto 10th, Chapter 84th, entitled The Sages Teaching at Kurukshetra. Text 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha Shutva Pitha Subala Putri Atha Yagyasheni Madve Atosh शितिपत्न उत स्वगोप्यापत्न उत स्वगोप कृष्णे खिलात्मनि हरो प्रणयानुबंधम सर्वा विसिस्मयुरलम अश्रुक कलाकुलाक्ष्य श्रुत्वा पिता सुबलपुत्रे अथ यज्ञसेनी माधव्य अथ क्षितिपत्न उत स्वगोप्या कृष्णे अखिलात्मनि हरो प्रणयानुबंधम सर्वा विसिस्मयुरलम् अश्रुकलाकुलक्ष्य सुबलपुत्रि अथ याज्ञसेनी माधव्याथ क्षितिपत्न्या उत स्वगोप्या कृष्णे अखिलात्मनि हरो प्रणयानुबंधम सर्वा विसिस्मयुरलम् अश्रुकुलाकुलाक्ष्य। पत्ता सुबलपुत्रि अथ याज्ञसेनी माधव्यथ क्षितिपत्न्या उत स्वगोप्या कृष्णे अखिलात्मनि हरो प्रणयानुबंधम सर्वा विसिस्मयुरलम् अश्रुकलाकुलाक्ष्य। माताजी श्री शुका उवाच श्रुत्वा पिता सुबलपुत्रि अथ याज्ञसेनी माधव्यत क्षितिपत्न उत स्वगोप्या कृष्णे अखिलात्मनि हरो प्रणयानुबंधम सर्वा विसिस्मयुरलम् अश्रुकुलाकुलाक्ष्य। शिशुक उवाच सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड श्रुत्वा हेरिंग प्रथा कुंती सुबलपुत्री गांधारी द डॉटर ऑफ किंग सुबल अथ एंड यज्ञसेनी द्रौपदी माधवी सुभद्रा अथ एंड क्षितिप ऑफ द किंग्स पत्न्या द वाइव्स उत ऑल्सो सो लॉर्ड कृष्ण दोन गोप्या गोपीस कृष्णे to Krishna, Akhila of all, Atmani, the soul, Haro, the Supreme Lord Hari, Pranaya, loving, Anubandham, attachment, Sarva, all of them. Visismayo became amazed, Alam, greatly, Ashrukala, tears, Akul, filling, Akshaya, who dies. Translation and purport by the disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukdev Goswami said, Pritha, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, the wives of other kings and the Lord's cowherd girlfriends were all amazed to hear of the Queen's deep love for Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and soul of all beings, and their eyes filled with tears. Purport. Draupadi is the chief hearer in this assembly of exalted women. Since, as explained by Srila Sridhar Swami, she had asked the question that Lord Krishna's queen answered by relating their respective stories. Since Gandhari and other ladies named here were not even mentioned in the previous chapter as having been present, Acharya Sridhar concludes they must have heard the queen's narration only second hand. Indeed, Draupadi would never have spoken so freely in the presence of Pritha and Gandhari, her elders, or before the gopis whose attitude towards the queens of Dwarka was not particularly sympathetic. Even though the gopis joined in shedding tears, it was more because of their being reminded of Sri Krishna's pastimes than because of any loving affinity between them and the queens. We should remember, of course, that there is always perfect harmony on the spiritual platform. Apparent conflict between pure devotees is nothing like mundane envy and strife. The jealousy of the gopis was more show than substance, being exhibited by them as an ecstatic symptom of their overflowing love for Krishna. Srila Sridhar Swami Pad further analyzes the phrase so gopya as implying that these gopis were the queens so sarupa, the original prototypes of whom the queens were specific expansions. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So, herein it's mentioned that all the queens, they shared the queens of Krishna, they shared their stories of how they achieved the association of Lord Krishna. Right? So, there is a, in the first canto, even the, there is a two chapters, 10th and 11th, and then there are talks of ladies of Hastinapur and the ladies of Dwarka. There also, they talk about Krishna, right? So, the one point which comes over there also, that how this ladies talking about Krishna is actually, when they talk about Krishna, it sounds very sweet, right? So ladies have a natural appetite to talk, but when that talk is about Krishna, it said sarva shuti manohara. The talk, when the talk is centered around Krishna, it's mentioned that even it is sarva shuti manohara word is used. Two meanings of that. One is, it is very pleasing to everyone's ears and heart when the talks are centered around Krishna. And second meaning of that is sarva shuti manohara. Even the great Vedic literature shrutis, they adore such talks. Like shrutis are filled with great wisdom, right? It in Sanskrit language. And the shrutis, they feel, they adore such talk, and they feel that, you know, these talks we will accept as a part of ours, right? So it becomes, so therefore these talks, even the ordinary talks, when they are centered, when they are centered around glorification of Krishna with pure love, that ordinary talks, Prabhupada says, are even more important than the Shruti mantras. Krishna is more pleased by them, right? Because there is love and affection over there. Sarva Shruti Manohara, right? Even the Shrutis, the Vedic literature. Sometimes the Vedic literature talks in indirect terms about the absolute truth. But these ladies talks, here in the queens of Krishna and Draupadi are talking, or the ladies of Hastinapur, ladies of Dwarka, ladies of Mathura. Bhagavatam is filled with talks, the ladies are glorifying Krishna, right? Because they have natural affection for the Lord. So their talks are very pleasing to the ears, to the heart, right? Great Paramhamsas, renounced sages, they discuss talks of these ladies' affection for Krishna. So, herein also these talks of the queen's love comes forth, right? This in this last chapter, chapter 83rd, and this verse is saying, when these talks of the queens of Krishna were heard by Pritha, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, and the wives of the other kings, and even Krishna's gopi is mentioned over here. When they heard these talks, they all appreciated, they were amazed by the deep love of these queens, and their eyes were filled with tears. So it's clarified, they all didn't hear in one assembly. Gandhari and Pritha, they heard second hand. No? Not the when they were directly talking, because they will not be so freely, you know, in front of their mother-in-laws. Ladies will not talk so freely. So that's the reason is given by Srila Sridhar Swami. And gopis also heard second hand talks about Krishna, but they were moved to tears just by hearing of Krishna only. It's not that they deeply appreciated the queen's love. Just by the topic of the subject matter, they were moved to tears, right? Were the gopis. Sad. So because they have this, some kind of, it's mentioned, transcendental rivalry between the queens of Dwarka and the gopis of Vrindavan. But this rivalry is transcendental because it actually fosters their love for Krishna. Usually if there is any jealousy or envy, it drains away our love for Krishna, actually, right? He said that envy or jealousy, like we compare it to burning, you know. So this burning creates hole in the, you know, in the container of our heart, where we have to keep this affection for Krishna. But this envy or jealousy, which drains away a person's whatever little affection he may have developed. But in this case, it is transcendental revelry over herein, which increases their affection for Krishna. Right? So it's of a totally different nature. So that is also explained in the purport by Srila Sridhar Swami. So it said that this is a special time. Lord Jagannath has left Dwarka and is staying in Vrindavan. Right? So today is his 8th day of staying. Right? Because Saturday was the 5th day, Panchami, and Sunday was the 6th, Monday 7th, to the 8th day. So Lord Jagannath stays for 9 days in Vrindavan, which is Gundicha temple, Sundarachal. When he leaves, he says 9 days in Vrindavan, and then 10th day he moves back. Right? So this is a very special time because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during this time when Lord Jagannath is in Vrindavan, Sundarachal, Gundicha temple, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would discuss with his devotees Vrindavan pastimes of the Lord. So, and Lord would stay in the garden nearby. He would not go to his house. During these 9 days, Lord is in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also shift his residence. He would stay in one of the nearby gardens to Gundicha. There were many gardens. There are still few. But there were many beautiful gardens which exactly resembled Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay in one of these gardens during these 9 days. And he would constantly discuss about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Right? So that is the 14th chapter of Madhya Leela, performance of Vrindavan pastimes. Right? So with the devotees, they would remember, talk about, also enact pastimes of Krishna, right, during this time. Because Lord Jagannath is actually, he's also relishing Vrindavan pastimes, Uda Vrindavan. Right? So therefore, this is very appropriate time. We will also discuss from this chapter how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he relished the pastimes of Vrindavan in the association of his devotees, while Lord Jagannath enjoyed his Vrindavan pastimes in Gundicha temple. So it's mentioned over here that after the Rath Yatra, Lord moved to Gundicha, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often during this time perform Sankirtan with his devotees in Gundicha temple. Right? After performing Sankirtan, then the Lord would come out with his devotees, go to nearby gardens and sometime nearby lakes also, have water pastimes, other pastimes in the... Right? This is his performance of Vrindavan pastime. So Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur says, in this performance of Vrindavan pastime, Lord with his devotees, there are no women involved. They were not like the pastime, they were pastimes of some upstarts, you know, where they would actually, on the name of enjoying Ras Leela or performing Ras Leela, they would have illicit connection with women. So nothing like that. So therefore Bhaktivedanta Thakur warns that, because there are many sampradayas who would say the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, we have to, you know, reenact those pastimes, some people would feel. But he said, so Mahaprabhu enacting these pastimes are not having any illicit connection with women. And that is the first thing Bhaktivedanta Thakur clarifies. So, in the performance of this Sankirtan before Lord Jagannath in the Gundicha, it's mentioned that sometimes Lord would induce Advaita Acharya to dance, Nityanand Prabhu, and other times he would induce Haridas Thakur and Achyutanand, and also sometime Vakreshwar Pandit. Right. So Swarup Damodar would often sing during this time. And it's mentioned that there were many gardens near to Gundicha temple. Nanudyane bhakta sange vrindavan lila indradyumna sarovare kare jal khela. So in many gardens, Nanudyane bhakta sange vrindavan lila, would enact Vrindavan pastimes. And in Indradyumna sarovar, which is again very close by, the Lord would enact water sporting pastimes. So आपने सकल भक्ते सींचे जल दिया सब भक्त गण सींचे चौधी के बेडिया. So the Lord would also personally splash. So now there is a small pastime is mentioned of water sporting over here. So the Lord would throw water, you know, into the eyes of his devotees, you know, water splashing, and when the water hits, you have to close their eyes and then you can't see where is the opponent. So whoever can splash, you know, more forcefully water at a greater speed and frequency, you know, that person would be the winner. The other person would lose control over himself like that. So these pastimes the Lord enacted, right? It said that there would be two persons, right? They would enact, they would combat with each other, right? So Nityanand Prabhu would combat with Advaitacharya. And often Nityanand Prabhu would defeat Advaitacharya. Nityanand Prabhu was young, Advaitacharya was old. Nityanand Prabhu would defeat him, and then Advaitacharya would later started giving gali to him. You know, it's mentioned over here. And, you know, it's all loving gali, you know. Advaita Nityanande Jal Phela Pheli Acharya Hariya Pache Kare Gala Gali. Right? So Advaitacharya would be defeated and he would call ill names to Nityanand. Right? And Sarup Damodar Goswami would combat with Pundrik Vidyanidhi. Shivas Thakur would combat with Gadadhar Pandit. Right? So these are different teams. Lord forms the team, you know, himself. You two combat with each other, you two combat with each other. Right? And somehow Nityanand Prabhu and Advaitacharya were always in one team. There are many places mentioned. They would have water sports, and Nityanand Prabhu and Vedacharya were one fixed team. Sarvabhauma Sanghe Khele Ramanand Rai. Right? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramanand Rai were another team. Gambhirya Gela Dohar Haila Shishu Prai. So they both lost all their gravity and just became like children. Mahaprabhu Tas Dohar Chanchalya Dekhiya Gopinathacharya Kichu Kahen Hasiya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this Chanchalya, the restless of these two very grave devotees, and he spoke to Gopinathacharya. The Lord said, Lord smiled and he told Gopinathacharya, Pandita Gambhir Duhe Pramanika Jan Bal Chanchalya Kare Karaha Varjan. He said, these two are great learned scholar, Pandit Gambhir, they are very grave. And they both are Pramanik Jan, they are very great authorities actually. Right? Both are great authority in the scriptures. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what a learned person. Lord said, they are acting so restless. Please stop them now. You know, before people misunderstand me and my devotees more, you know. These two people are specially very grave. They should not behave like children like this. Right? Actually, even the followers of Prakashanand Saraswati, Mayavadi Sanasi of Varanasi, they would actually criticize the Lord when the Lord was, you know, when he was on the way to Vrindavan. They would say, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very grave and learned person. He had got spoiled in the association of Lord Chaitanya. Right? He has become like a mad, restless person, you know, who was otherwise a very grave and learned personality. So they would criticize, right? So the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, no, they should not behave like this. They are very big scholars, very respected in the society. If they behave, people will surely misunderstand, right? Gopinath kahe tomar kripa maha sindhu uchalit kare yabe tar ek bindu. Meru Mandar Parvat Dubai Yatha Tatha Ei Dui Ganda Shaila Ihara Ki Katha. Gopinathacharya said, my Lord, your mercy is like a great ocean. Even one drop of that ocean drowns big mountains. He said Meru and Mandar, you know, Meru 1 lakh yojanas, 8 lakh miles, means what, 1 lakh times bigger than Himalayas, right, which is 8 miles kind of, 1 lakh times. He said your mercy, one drop of mercy can make Meru and Mandar Parvat to be drowned, right? That means millions of conditioned soul, very sinful, can be at once, you know, liberated by receiving one drop of mercy, right? The whole millions of countless universes, by accepting one drop of mercy, can be liberated, right? Meru Mandar Parvat Dubai Yathadatha. These two are small hills, you know. They were quite pious. They were anyway having, you know, Sarvam Bhattacharya was scholar of the scriptures. He was not sinful person or somebody. Your mercy can drown the Meru and Mandar Parvat. These two are small hills comparatively, Ramanandra and Sarvam Bhattacharya. If they are drowning in the drop of your mercy, right? One drop from the ocean of your mercy. If your one drop of ocean of mercy can drown Meru and Mandar Parvat, then these two are small hills. What is the surprise if they are drowning in a drop of your mercy, right? And then Gopinath Acharya says, Shushkatar kakhali khaite janma gela yaar, tare lila amrit piyao e kripa tomar. He said, my lord, this Sarvam Bhattacharya, no, Gopinath Acharya is a brother-in-law, Sarvam Bhattacharya. Sarvam Bhattacharya's sister is married to Gopinath Acharya. So he says, you know, this Sarvam Bhattacharya has been eating dry oil cakes. So dry oil cakes, you know, pend. You extract oil from the seeds, you know, whatever seeds you have, groundnut, peanuts or till, you know, sesame seeds. You extract the oil in a ghani. What remains behind is the dry oil cake. It's nowhere close to cake, but Prabhupada calls it cake. It's very hard, solid mass. So someone has seen, I don't know. No human beings can even chew it. It's given to animals. It's like food for the animals, you know. When you extract the oil from the seed, what remains behind is very hard, you know. It's even difficult to break actually. It's very dry, you know. Sometimes ghani, it's a byproduct of the oil ghani. You see, it's very hard. So that example is giving. He said, my lord, Sarvam Bhattacharya, a dry oil, you know, this pinda, which is not even fit for human beings, animal food, you know. Now he is drinking some nectar. Let him drink some nectar. He is coming to the association of devotees. Let him have some amras, some basundi. He has been drinking, eating dry oil cakes throughout his life. Please do not stop. Let him now relish your mercy. Right? So it's a very sweet exchange of the Lord and between that conversation between the Lord and Gopinath Acharya. And in this way the devotees performed water sports, and then Sridhara Mahaprabhu called Advaitacharya, and within the Indudumna Sarovar, Advaitacharya started floating, understanding Mahaprabhu's desire, and the Lord climbed upon him and lied down like Lord Narayan sleeps on the, you know, Sheshashai, like Lord Ranganath. So they said Lord manifested his Sheshashai form over Advaitacharya in the Narendra Sarovar. So that's another pastime the Lord performed. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ask the question to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Right? So Mahaprabhu asked the question that Lord Jagannath, he has all the opulences in Nilachal, which is Dwarka, and he enjoys so many beautiful pastimes with his devotees. Why does he become so eager to go to Vrindavan once a year? You know, at least once a year his eagerness to, he's always remembering Vrindavan, but once a year he becomes very eager to go to Vrindavan. You know, he's self-satisfied in Nilachal. Mother Lakshmi serves him nicely, everything. Why does he become so eager to go to Vrindavan? So that is one of the questions. So therefore, in answer to it, actually, Sarup Damodar Goswami elaborately describes the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Right? What attracts Lord Jagannath to actually go to Vrindavan? Remember, Lord Jagannath today is still staying in Vrindavan. Right? So there is another beautiful conversation which is inspired by the Lord between Srivas Thakur and Sarup Damodar Goswami, which brings out this particular aspect. It's mentioned, Srivas hasiya kahe shun Damodar, amara lakshmira dekh sampeti vistar. So Srivas Thakur smilingly, he said, listen, O Sarup Damodar Goswami. Look at the opulence of my Lakshmi Devi. Right? Amara Lakshmira dekh sampati vistar. Vrindavane ra sampad dekh pushp kishalai giri dhatu shikhi pich gunj phalamai. He said, look at the opulence of my goddess of fortune. She has golden beds studded with jewels, many, many beautiful decorations, right? Many, many silken white bed sheets, right? Fragrant waters, the pitchers are made up of various valuable metals and stones, right? Furniture is made of pure crystals. There are ivory use, a huge amount of opulence, right? So in this way, he glorifies the opulence of Mother Lakshmi. And he says, what is Vrindavan? There are some feathers here and there, which the birds shed anyway. Right? And some minerals on the, from the mountains. Right? So, and some fruits and little bit flowers. Right? So, there's the opulence of Vrindavan. So he says, Ej sampatti chhadi kene gela Vrindavan. Why has Jagannath gone? So he's reflecting the mood of Lakshmi Devi. Right? So Lakshmi Devi is feeling that Jagannath, he is very, very wise person, very intelligent person, very daksh expert. And he has left all these opulence and he has gone searching for some peacock feathers, for some fruits, from some flowers, some lowly gunja berries which are found in Vrindavan. Said, what kind of intelligent person your Lord is? You know, that Mother Lakshmi feeling he is reflecting, Srivas Thakur. This is not a wise person who leaves such opulence, go behind searching some fruits, flower, leaves, feathers. Tomara Thakur dekh et sampatti chhadi, patra phala phula lobe gela pushpa badi. So he should not have been so foolish. You know, Jagannath is supposed to be a very intelligent person, the most intelligent, the wisest of all. How come he behaves, you know, in such awkward, foolish way, leaving such opulence, such service which is done to him, and he has become eager to, patra phal phul lobhe gela pushpa badi. He's gone to Vrindavan to find some fruits, flowers, gunja berries, etc. Right? Ei karma kare kaha vidagda shiromani. Tell me, he's vidagda shiromani, he's expert of all, and what kind of things he's doing? Right? What is this? How you explain the behavior of your very wise, very intelligent Lord? Right? So this is what is asked from Jagannath's servants, and Srivas Thakur is reflecting that. Right? So, further it is said, Srivas Thakur says, Dugdo otida dimate tomar gropi gane, amar thakurani vaise ratna simhasane. said, Shivashaku said, look, what gopis are doing? Boiling some milk, churning the yogurt, you know. And my god of the fortune sits on a jewel, sits on a golden throne studded with jewels and gems, right? So he's saying, look, you know, ordinary household activities gopis are doing, and my god of the fortune is the Mem Sahab. You know, she sits always on a jeweled throne. She doesn't have to boil milk, make it into yogurt and all these things. Right? So where is the comparison between Vrindavan and Vaikuntha? Right? So that kind of mood Shivas Thakur is reflecting over here. Narada Prakirti Shivas Kare Parihas. Right? So Narada Prakirti Shivas. Shivas Thakur has the same mood of, like in the mood of Narad Muni, right? He's also actually in Narad Muni in Krishna Lila, Shivas Thakur here. So when they heard Narad Muni's challenge to Swarup Damodar, all the devotees started laughing actually, right? Understanding that he wants to actually bring out some beautiful pastime over here, you know, beautiful conversation. Prabhu kahe Shivas tomate Narada Sobhav, Aishwarya bhave tomate Ishwara Prabhav. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Shivas, your nature is exactly like of Narad Muni. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence is having a direct influence upon you. Iho Damodar Sarup Shuddha Brajavasi, Aishwarya Na Jane Iho Shuddha Preme Bhasi. Here is Sarup Damodar Goswami. He is pure Brajavasi. He, the opulence of Vaikuntha and other things doesn't affect his mind. Right? So therefore, his service is purely in the mood of resident of Vrindavan. So in this way, Lord looked towards Swarup Damodar Goswami to answer the challenge of Shivas Thakur, Narad Muni. Swarup ka hai Shivas, shun savadhane. So Shivas Thakur replied, Vrindavan sampo tomar nahi pade mane. So Swarup Damodar is saying, please hear attentively. You have forgotten about the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. Vrindavan e sahajik ye sampat sindhu, Dwaraka Vaikuntha sampat tar ek bindu. Said Vrindavan sahajik ye sampat sindhu, the natural opulence of Vrindavan is like an ocean. He said, Swarup Damodar said, the opulences of Dwaraka and millions of Vaikuntha combined together does not compare to one drop of the opulence of Vrindavan. That is the first reply, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami's first reply. Right? Said, you have not understood the opulence of Vrindavan. Parama Purushottam Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna Yaha Dhani Taha Vrindavan Dham. So, Parama Purushottam Swayam Bhagavan. He said, actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, and where He displays His maximum wealth, right, oceanic wealth, other places a drop here and there, that is Vrindavan. You know, usually we think that where Krishna displays His wealth, that is Vaikuntha. But Swarup Damodar Goswami says, where Krishna displays His wealth, that is Vrindavan. And all other, this is, here is the ocean of wealth, other places of drop here and there. Even Vaikuntha compared to one drop of the wealth of Vrindavan Dham. Right? So then Swarup Damodar Goswami explains what is the wealth of Vrindavan Dham. Right? What is the wealth of Vrindavan Dham? Chintamani Maye Bhumi Ratne Rabhavan Chintamani Gana Dasi Charana Bhushan. He says, Chintamani Maye Bhumi Ratne Rabhavan. All the whole land of Vrindavan actually is constituted of Chintamani, the transcendental touchstone. Even the residents of Vrindavan, they may be seemingly ordinary, you know, ornaments, ordinary gold ornaments or something. But he said, everything is made of transcendental touchstone in Vrindavan. Right? Once Akbar had, there's a story we hear, once Akbar had approached Srila Rupa Goswami and he said, He said, probably I can repair some steps of Keshi Ghat. You know, there's some, I can do some nicely, maybe I can pave it with some stone or something, whatever, at that point of time. So he had a proud of his wealth that I can actually restore the whole dham also if you like, he proposed. So Rupa Goswami said, okay, just wait and just close your eyes for some time. And he closed his eyes. Then Rupa Goswami gave him the vision of the actual Keshi Ghat in Vrindavan, what it is made up of. It was made up of Chintamani stones, transcendental trust stone, which Akbar had never even seen. The whole his wealth would not purchase one single Chintamani stone. Right? Well, it would not be compared to anything. He immediately realized he cannot even repair, you know, one broken corner of one step of Keshi Ghat. What to speak of, you know, doing the dham renovation or something. He realized that. Right? That all my wealth is actually so tuch, the whole wealth of material, even the Vaikunthas is mentioned over here, doesn't compare to one drop of what the wealth which is, right, there in the Goloka Vrindavan. Chintamani Maya Bhumi Ratnira Bhavan. So that is the wealth of Vrindavan. Krishna Yaha Dhani Taha Vrindavan Dham. Actually we realize one important thing about this is also the main wealth of Vrindavan is although there everything is made up of transcendental touchstone, right? And there are unlimited opulences as explained, but the main wealth of Vrindavan is actually Krishna's loving dealings with his devotees. That constitutes the highest wealth. That is not found, the kind of love and the loving reciprocation which is displayed in Vrindavan, that is not found anywhere else. Right? So that constitutes one of the, or that constitute the main wealth of Vrindavan Dham. And others also as explained over here and also is there. So similarly there's another point in this regard is that fruit vendor lady. Right? That fruit vendor lady, that pastime is very famous because she came and she said, someone who may want to buy fruits, please come and take the fruits, right? She was, and said that hearing this sound that some come and buy the fruits, Krishna who awards the fruit to everyone, right? Krishna is, actually Krishna gives the fruits of everyone's activity. Krishna that day, he became phalarthi, right? He said that one who awards fruits to everyone, he became fruitive that day. He wanted to enjoy fruits. Sometimes halwai may want to eat some sweet of his own, something like that, right? Sarva phala prada, right? Phalarthi, so the word mentioned is he became phalarthi, although his sarva karma phala prada, he awards the fruit of everyone's action, but he became fruitive. So, it's mentioned that he became fruitive, then Acharya said, why did on particular day Lord has become fruitive, right? The Lord became fruitive that particular day to enjoy the fruits because he wanted to grant the fruit of loving devotion to this aborigine woman. He said the Lord wanted to show that anyone such as aborigine, they would live in the surrounding areas. Right? So they were not considered as such very, they were lowered by aborigine women, right? Pulinda women and all that. They were considered lowly residents of Vrindavan. But he said that anyone who had any connection with Vrindavan, even a remote connection with Vrindavan, Krishna would bestow full mercy upon them. Right? So these women, aborigine women, they would sometime come to, they would bring some forest fruits, etc., and they would come to sell. Right? But Krishna gave complete mercy even to this aborigine women. So showing that how Krishna, when Krishna says patram pushpam phalam toyam, give me fruit, Krishna is asking us to give him fruit so that Krishna can award us the fruit of our service. So Krishna desires fruit from us only to give fruit of our service, right? Only to award us with the fruit of our service. So therefore, that's why Krishna asks fruit from us. So therefore, similarly on this particular day, Krishna, desired to have fruits, all these fruits, so that he can award the fruit of loving devotional service. And people sometimes think that her basket became filled with many valuable jewels, that is a fruit. But actually that was not the fruit. The fruit which was given was pure devotional service, right? Krishna gave his own love to this aborigine woman, right? Who actually gave Krishna all the fruits he had, who wanted to have, like that. So this loving devotion, this affection to Krishna, that constitutes the highest wealth of Vrindavan. So Swarupa Damodara Goswami further explains, Kalpavriksh latar yaha sahajik van pushpa phala bina keha na mage anya dhan. That actually in this Vrindavan, every tree is a desire tree. Each tree, if inhabitants of Vrindavan, right, if they, whatever they desire, any tree, right, there are millions of trees, they can ask any tree. Each tree can produce wealth of millions of Vaikuntha. Each tree had that capacity. But they don't want, they only want pushpa and phal. They only want some flowers and fruits to serve Krishna. Right, again showing the predominance of whatever they can use in their service to Krishna. That's what. They don't want anything else. Although these, each tree, there are, in Vrindavan, there are millions of Kalpavriksh. Each tree can give the wealth of millions of Vaikunthas. They don't want. They only want some fruits and flower for service of Krishna. Ananta kamadhenu taha phire vane vane. Said, there are millions of desire fulfilling cows. They also can generate any amount of wealth. Right? Ananta kama dhenu. They are millions of wish fulfilling cows and they can give the wealth of millions of Vaikuntha. Dugdha matra dena keha na mage anya dhane. No one wants anything except milk from them. Right? Swarupa Damodara Goswami explaining. So don't think some little milk only they are getting. You can't imagine what they can get if they want. All the opulence is at their, you know, each tree, each cow, there are millions of them. They don't have to go searching for them, you know. Always they are nearby some tree. There's some cow nearby. They can give anything, but they don't want. They only want some milk with which they can serve Krishna. Sahaja loke rakatha yait. Sahaja loke rakatha yaha divya geet sahaja gaman kare yaiche nitya pratit. Said in Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music and their natural motion resembles dance. Right? So sahaja loke rakatha yaiche divya geet. Even their ordinary talks is like a song, right? Like a person song. Here represents that when a person joyfully, you know, when a person is joyful, he sings, right? So because the residents of Vrindavan, they are always filled with this, always filled with the joy of affection towards Krishna. Therefore, ordinary talk is like a song. Ordinary movement is like a dance, right? Non-stop party, 24 hours a day. Right? Perpetual festival in Vrindavan, right? So that is being mentioned over here. In there's another beautiful verse which says, Yadohane vahanane matanopalepa premkinkanar baruditokshanamar janado gayanti chayana manurakt dhiyoshrukantya nanyam vrajastriyaurukramachittayana. Said while they are milking the cows, right? Milking the cows produces a sound, you know. Shh, shh, like that, you know, when the milk forcefully enters the bucket, right? It's very sweet to hear, right? Everything Vrindavan is a musical sound, right? The sound of milking the cows is a musical sound. Mathano palepa, while they are milking the cows, while they are smearing the cow dung, right? Or while they are doing the manthan, churning the yogurt, right? They are always singing about Krishna. And other sounds become like a musical accompaniments. Right? So they are singing about Krishna. So other cases are mentioned. Even when they are making the child who is crying, they are telling him, stop crying. Even that they are telling while chanting of Krishna's name. Right? So even when they are trying to make the crying babies stop cry, that sound is also a musical sound, which is quite irritating otherwise. In children crying is an irritating sound in this world. But the children are crying and the gopis are telling them not to cry. That is also a very sweet musical sound. Right? And so in this way, whatever they are doing actually, right, gayanti chan manurakta dhyo ashru kanthya, because their heart is filled with affection, anurakta dhyo, and because of their affection, their throats are filled with tears. So therefore, every talk which they do, right, that is a song, because of the affection of their heart. Dhanyam vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. Glorious are these gopis of Vrindavan, vrajastriya urukrama chittayana, whose consciousness is so deeply absorbed in Lord Urukram, in Krishna. Right? So, in this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami glorifies the opulences of Vrindavan, which are not to be compared to the opulence of any place. The main opulence of Vrindavan being the love of, the deep affection of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. Right? So in this way, from herein we understand that while Lord Jagannath becomes so eager, right, to leave Dwarka and go to Vrindavan because he wants to experience, right, the Lord is always eager to taste, experience the love of the residents of Vrindavan, right. And as Vishwaru Prabhu also was telling that day, when Uddhava, who considered the residents of Dwarka to be the great devotees, right, and when he witnessed this affection, this love, he felt they should not call themselves devotees first of all. You know, they have been only, they have been in great illusion till now that we are devotees. But actually we are no devotees. We have to go a long way. And then he desired and offered his heartfelt prayer. Asamaho charanare nujusham ham syam vrindavane kimapigul malatau shadinam yo dustya janso janamaryapatham chahitva Bejur Mukunda Padavim Shuti Bhir Vimigyan. So he offered his heartfelt prayer that by the mercy of the resident of Vrindavan, then we will actually be able to obtain some affection for Krishna. Right? We cannot obtain the same affection, but some affection we can obtain following in their footsteps. Right? And 50 years back, Prabhupada, who was actually staying in this holy place of Vrindavan, which is filled with affection for Krishna, left to go to Manhattan. Now, I don't want to describe glories of Manhattan after describing glories of Vrindavan, right? But it's all been described, right? What a striking contrast, you know, means, you know, it's like going from such a place to Manhattan, you know, can't imagine actually. For a person, if a person is living in big bungalow in Malabar Hill and he has to go to Dharavi, multiplied millions of times or billions of times, you know. This example which I gave should be first multiplied billions of times to understand the difference between Vrindavan Dham and Manhattan. Right? So 50 years back, Prabhupada left so that to spread the glories of Vrindavan, right? Or he carried Vrindavan within his heart, and by his mercy, we are able to know the glories of Vrindavan Dham. We can at least, we can appreciate, we can worship such love, right? We can't get full understanding of such deep emotions. But even with our intelligence, with our mind, when we appreciate and worship such pastime, right? Then we also receive the blessings of the Lord, right? Just by appreciating, just by worshipping such pastime, we also receive the blessings of the Lord, the blessings of the realities of Vrindavan, right? So, by mercy of Prabhupada, right, this is the 50th year we are celebrating. We must take every opportunity to increase our gratitude towards Prabhupada, right? By whose mercy we can actually even discuss such topics. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maya ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you, Hare Krishna.